following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
And I'm glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning during this long weekend. And it feels like fall, doesn't it? This whole week has kind of felt like fall, much to my joy and Erica's dismay. Every time we left the house together, I'd say, oh, it feels so nice outside. And she'd say, oh, this is the worst. It's so cold. She has one. We lived in New Hampshire. She should be fine. But we're leaving today for New York City, and it's like 88 degrees Celsius there, and so she's, or not Celsius, whoa. Yeah, 88 degrees Fahrenheit, livable, but way too warm for me and perfect for her. So I guess that's what marriage is. There's compromises sometimes. But fall means all sorts of things, right? It means the end of summer vacations, it means outdoor pools closing, the beginning of football in the States, both college and NFL, the beginning of school, and in many ways, the beginning of a new year, right? A new season in the life of the church. And that's not technically, not according to the church calendar, so I don't want to get that mixed up, but the way that functionally we do church, this is the beginning of a new season in our church year. The fall is when Bible studies start back up, when Friday Night Live will begin again, when confirmation gets up and running for our youth, and there's more and more consistency as folks settle back into a routine. And we spent the last 5 weeks looking at one passage, a story from Ezekiel, where God leads him into the valley of dry bones and breathes life into them by his Spirit. We heard there about God doing the impossible. We heard about God doing the impossible in the life of Ezekiel, in the lives of the Israelites. We know that Jesus did the impossible time and time again, performing miracles, healing the sick, forgiving sins, all culminating in him dying on the cross for the sins of all humanity, and then rising again from the dead. We heard about the impossible last week that Gabby shared, that she has experienced in her own life just in the past weeks. Year after year, we hear about the impossible when folks from Teen Challenge come to share stories of lives changed completely. And so then it is with faith that we must expect the impossible from Jesus for us as we begin this new season in this new year in the life of the church. But we have a vital role to play in that impossible. We cannot remain the same. There is change that is required from each of us on a daily basis. Recognizing who Jesus is and recognizing who Jesus is calling us to be. I mentioned last week a conference that I attended remotely that was put on by Willow Creek Community Church outside Chicago called the Global Leadership Summit. It's a conference full of speakers from all realms of the world and life. There were pastors, there were musicians, comedians, CEOs, authors, politicians. Last week, I referenced a professor specifically, and more, who were speaking about leadership. And they noted kind of throughout and in the opening talk that through the years and years of this conference, they've proven that business professionals can learn from church leaders, and church leaders can learn from business professionals. Young people can learn from older people, and older people can learn from younger people. The idea is that everybody needs to grow and improve, and the hope is that something or someone from this conference will be the catalyst for some incredible change. And throughout, they highlighted stories of incredible change, some just amazing things going on in the world. Companies who had totally changed the way they were functioning, giving out vaccines to people who could not afford them, that kind of thing, by a company like Walgreens, like this monster pharmacy. Thank you, this monster pharmacy. in nonprofits, in churches, even in government. We heard about a group of pastors who were so encouraged by this conference that they petitioned their government and had the government leader repent of the sins of their country, like on a global stage. It was the nation of Uganda. I mean, horrific things have happened, and that was spurred on by a group of pastors there. And so I'll be honest, at times those stories can feel really overwhelming, especially as a pastor of a smaller church. I'm not going to have influence over the president of Uganda. But it was all held up as change is what is important, not the size of it, but the fact that we are all needing to grow. And so the last speaker of the conference was actually a covenant pastor, a pastor named Craig Groeschel. He's the pastor of Life Church down in Oklahoma. His church is huge, but he talked about growth and change and improvement in a way that was very tangible, in a way that felt attainable and was really encouraging. And I believe that that's a really great place for us to start this fall, by being encouraged to grow and change and improve in a real, attainable way. And to be encouraged that all of this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll read a couple of scripture passages for us this morning, and we'll dive into the five C's to shift this year. And we're using that language shift, and it's been so beautiful to see the way that God has kind of ordered sermon series and scripture and things this fall as we lead into breakthrough. But this shift language just fits so perfectly into it. Shift was the theme of CHIC, and they put out a curriculum. They put out sermon notes, and they put out adult Bible study curriculum, youth Bible study curriculum, and children's Bible study curriculum. And so that's what I'm going to be preaching through over the next, well, not next week, but the 6 weeks following. So it's kind of the 7 week look at Shift and what God did at CHIC. But that Bible study will be available to our Bible studies. I'll make an appeal for you to be in a small group, because it's a great opportunity to be a part of that. And it's what we'll be using for Friday Night Live as well, for both adults and youth and children. So, all of that to say, let's pray, and we can dive into Scripture together. Dear Lord, as we step into this fall, into this new season, a season of new beginnings, we pray that we are seeking your will in all areas of our life. Lord, help us to grow as you would have us to grow. Be with us this morning as we open your word. Speak to us, Lord. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have two scripture passages to start us off this morning. The first is from Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, and the second will be from 1 Thessalonians 3:11 to 4:2, if you can wrap your head around that. So I'll invite you to turn there now. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand, and David would be happy to bring you one. So let's look at Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And the second reading from 1 Thessalonians 3:11 to 4:2. "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Both of these passages speak of a few different things. The Matthew passage is a foundational passage, right? It's the greatest commandment. It's a passage that we know inside and out. But what both passages have in common is making it clear that we are to give God our everything. All our hearts, all our soul, and all our mind. And then the Thessalonians passages helps us understand that God is continually working on us and that we are expected to be doing this more and more. I feel like for many, there is a healthy understanding that we as human beings should always be learning, always be growing, always be improving in all areas of life. And I say understanding because I do think that it tends, at least for me, to be a mental exercise. Yes, I know that I need to keep growing and learning. I understand that. But am I doing that? Am I taking the steps to actually grow and improve? How can I translate that expectation, that understanding that Paul speaks about here, to do what has been taught to me, to grow in what I've been called to more and more? Well, the reality is there's no way getting around that it takes some sort of practice. You have to do something. It takes identifying very clearly areas of need for improvement in my life and taking a very clear step towards making the improvements, doing the work to grow so that I have more and more to give God each day. And so that's what I want to offer with these five C's, some practical things that you can be working on with God as you begin this year. But here's the catch. I want you to choose one. I want you to wait and look at all five. I want you to see them all before you choose one, because if we stop at one, well, you'll all just choose the first one, because all five of these are all things that we all need to work on. But I want you to choose the one thing that God is telling you you need to work on this year. One. Just one. Not one and, not, well, half of this one and half of this one. Choose one that you're going to commit to working on. So without further ado, the first C is confidence. Do you need to work on building your confidence? Do you find yourself perhaps hearing from God or seeing things that need to be done as you pursue God and seek to follow Jesus, but then lack the confidence to follow through on it? Do you use language like, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't know the Bible enough, I'm too tired, I don't have enough time? Stop using that kind of language. It's that simple. Whether it's being said out loud or to others or in your head, change what you're saying to yourself. Take a physical step. Look at yourself in the mirror and take a physical step forward out of that insecurity, out of that lack of confidence, and into the calling of God. A step out of fear and into faith. Recognize that your strength and your confidence does not need to be found in you alone. But do as David did. In 1 Samuel 36, we read that David found strength in the Lord. David didn't just look within himself for more strength. David knew that the source of all strength was God. You are not who others say you are. You are who God says you are. Do you need to work on your confidence this year? Perhaps to grow in this season, you need to expand your connections. Do you read all of the same authors? Do you listen to all of the same podcasts, radio stations, commentators, speakers, preachers? Yes, I realize that I said preachers. Do you only stick to a small group of people that influence you, whether in person or from a distance. It's really easy to find ourselves locked into what feels comfortable, locked into that environment of people that we understand and who understand us easily, people whose opinions don't necessarily challenge ours, whose experiences are not all that different from ours. Do you need to expand your connections, finding people in your life who will challenge you, who will force you to think differently, force you to respond differently, force you to look at life and the world differently, force you to put into practice what God is calling you to differently? That may be as simple as finding a new podcast or a new author. That may be sitting at a different table for lunch at work or at school. Maybe that means simply having a different conversation with someone that you've had a surface-level relationship with for years. I'd suggest that that could look like finding a small group here at Emmanuel of people to get together with, people that you may not otherwise talk in depth with. And this fall is the perfect time to start that off. We have this shift curriculum that you can step right into with other people. But find people who will challenge the common, the everyday, the comfortable in you. Pastor Craig talked about finding people who give you the gift of disorientation. Yeah. If you are interested in a small group, please let me know, and I will get you connected with other folks. Do you need to work on expanding your connections? Or maybe it's a really practical thing that God is calling you to work on. Maybe you need to improve some sort of competence. Maybe it's something at work that you know that you need to get better at, you just haven't spent the time or done the work to get better at it. Maybe it's something at home. Maybe it's something on a sports team. I don't know. Maybe you need to spend more time at the batting cages. Maybe not. I probably do. You know, maybe it's communication. Maybe it's teamwork. Maybe it's delegating, giving feedback, receiving feedback, running meetings, listening, vision casting. Maybe it's time management. Maybe it's a spiritual discipline. Maybe it's your daily prayer life or your devotional time. Maybe it's Bible reading. And this is one where the list can go on and on and on. And perhaps it's something you don't even know of right now. But if you find that there's a competence that you feel like God is telling you to step into and you can't quite identify what it is, chances are the people around you will be able to identify that for you. They'll be able to say, "Hey, Eric, I think that you need to work on your time management. You clearly don't have your priorities in order, and you need to change this." Or it'll be, "Eric, you need to spend more time in the Bible." Whatever it is, the people around you will likely be able to help you see that. So ask your family, ask your friends, ask your coworkers if this is something that you need to work on. And then decide on that specific area of competence you need to improve. And then begin to do the work to improve on it. Find a course, find a mentor, find a book or tapes or YouTube videos, and start working on that competence. Is there a specific area of competence that God is asking you to improve right now? Maybe it's character. Maybe God is talking to you about strengthening your character. Without a strong character, it's impossible to serve God fully. Maybe there's sin in your life that you need to repent of and make changes to avoid. Maybe there are areas in your life where there are leaks. Not the full-on fire hose gushing sin, but leaks, that little trickle that left unattended to ends up opening up that pipe until it takes major reconstruction to do. As I was typing this, I remembered the faucet in the bathtub in the house that we worked or that we lived in New Hampshire. And it started off, there was just this little trickle coming out, and it was this kind of questionably built house. I think that was fair to say. Like, it was, I mean, it was solid. It was there. It wasn't going to fall over. But so I kind of thought, well, this is just sort of part of it. And it, you know, you could just kind of tug on the lever for the faucet, and it would turn off. But you'd have to tug a little bit harder each time, and then eventually, well, that stopped working. You couldn't tug it any harder, and it was still kind of trickling out and trickling out. And then it started to more than trickle. And I was like, okay, well, I should probably now talk to our maintenance guys. And Caleb will, as our resident plumber, will tell us that I probably should have talked to him way before I started, like, tugging on the lever. But so he gets in there, and he starts to look at it, and he says, Herrick, like, this is way too far gone. Like, I have to, you know, pull out drywall. I have to do all these things. I have to change the pipes all in there. If you had told me about this months ago, well, it would have been a simple fix. But now we have to do all of this stuff. Is there sin in your life that's like that? That maybe just feels like a trickle, feels like something that isn't that big a deal, and so you're not attending to it. That can do way more damage than you think it can. Pretty soon there will be a hole there that you never thought would be. Are there things that you need to change about your character? Is there an area of your character you need to work on? Or maybe it's commitment. Maybe it is increasing your commitment that God is asking you. There's a huge difference between saying, I kind of want this. I kind of want to know my Bible better. I kind of want to be better at anything. There's a big difference between that and nothing will stop me from getting what God has called me to in my life. Are you willing to do anything short of sin to fulfill God's call on your life? Stop trying to just to do something and do it. Is God asking you to change and adjust your commitment? One of the keys that was repeated over and over throughout this global leadership summit was this idea of the need to improve. And the refrain they used was, everyone wins when the leader gets better. And I believe that's absolutely true. But I also believe that for a church body, it's true that that everyone wins when anybody in the church gets better. We all are better as a church body, as a church family, when any of us improves. And like I mentioned before, it could have been so overwhelming to try and live up to the standards that some of those presenters set. But the other piece that was really key was the focus on not having everyone there try to learn and put into practice every single thing that we heard. Every tip, every idea, every book, every article, etc. There wasn't this idea of trying to improve 100% right away. Instead, what was encouraged was to try to improve by 5%. 5% this year. It sounds like nothing, right? I mean, it's a nickel. That is now the smallest denomination of coin that Canada has. But if we each pick one of these five C's, one that God is placing on your heart, and commit to improving 5% in that one area, as a church family, that's huge. And that ends up being huge in your own life as well. The other reason I really appreciated the 5% language is that it takes into account where you are at now. It's not comparing yourself to the person sitting next to you. It's not comparing yourself to anybody else. It forces you to reflect on where God has you now and where God is asking you to be. Perhaps, take for example, reading the Bible more. Well, what's 5% more of how much you're reading the Bible now? If you're at zero now, well, then 5% means opening it. It means opening it and reading something this year. That's actually 100% change, but that's all an improvement you need to look at. If you're reading it every single day, maybe it's adding a chapter. Maybe it's adding a couple of verses a day. But 5% more, and imagine what that can do to you. God is calling you to something. God is calling you to something better and something greater so that you can serve him more and more in the ways that he is calling and in the ways that he has gifted you. Personally, I've chosen the sea of connections, of expanding my connections. It's been pretty easy for me to, since seminary, kind of connect with my friends who are in similar sized churches, in similar type areas, and you know, we just kind of bounce things off each other, and that's really safe, and it's really comfortable, and it's, you know, easy to do, and we all have fun because we all went to seminary together, and we can laugh about professors and those kinds of things. But because we understand each other so easily, it's really easy to get into a rut. So I'm working on finding people who don't immediately understand me and finding people that I don't immediately understand. And I'm not intending to do that 100 different ways. I'm looking for one or two ways now to be really intentional about it. One of those things is finding a couple of magazines that I thought would have been, you know, kind of pointless for a pastor to read, but they're like business world leadership type magazines. But man, I'm learning a whole lot about the world and about leadership and about people in those magazines because they're not the same ministry and commentary type books that I'm used to reading. And another one is trying to connect with more clergy, specifically in our area. Clergy from different churches and who have different backgrounds and who have different people in their churches, partially to get a better idea of our community, but also to get a better idea of the breadth of ways that God is working in our community. So which one of these five C's are you going to work on this year? Listen to God, pray about it, and then tell somebody. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell me. Because if you don't tell somebody about it, it's going to be super easy for you to just duck around it for the year. But if you've told someone, and that person is willing to hold you accountable, well, then you might just actually do it. And just think of where you could be, where this church could be, and what more God could do through you, if that. We know from our time in Ezekiel that God will do the impossible. Trust in that. And trust in these words. And they're words that we often use as a benediction. Words from Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God, we ask you to do the impossible in us, in each of us. Lord, identify for us areas in which we need to grow and improve so that we can serve you more and more. Help us by your power to be people who are constantly seeking to be better for your glory and for our neighbor's good. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.